Hello, praise the Lord. Okay, today we are going to start a new subject, going to study about the will of God. Now, as we know, when sin came into this world, God sent His Son into this world. But before that, we see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, God had chosen us before the foundation of the world. That means God had the will that someday all people on earth will serve me or follow me, listen to me, or fulfill my will. And so we know in the beginning when God created the angels, He gave them free will. But because of the free will, angel rebelled, and we know there was a war in heaven, and one third of angels were defeated. The Satan means the enemy of God, going against God. That's the devil. When God created mankind, the devil wanted to destroy the mankind also. And so when man disobeyed God, when God said, the day you will eat this fruit, you will surely die. But the enemy comes and try to tell something else. You are not going to die. God is not telling you truth. And you will be just like God. And all this lie told the mankind. And then they committed sin. And they became enemy to God. But the plan of God did not change. When God wanted to rescue the mankind from the enemy's hand, enemy has to be defeated. So from the Genesis until the time of Moses, there was a war going on spiritual warfare, and the death was hanging over the mankind. But after the Mosaic law, God gave them commandment that you have to do the sacrifice, will forgive your sins, and the sins will be forgiven or covered. But each time they will commit sin, their sin will be uncovered. And this was going on. So we know that God sent His Son. And we see the Word of God says, our God is love. And the Word of God says, we did not love God, but God loved us first. So John 3:16, what we read, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see the plan of God, that God did not want any person to go to hell. That's what the God's plan is. So we are going to start from the 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 8 to 15. 2 Peter 3, 8 to 15.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
God does not want any person to go to hell. At the same time, he says God is waiting patiently for mankind. So the God's plan is for the children of God, is security that we are going to go to heaven, and God doesn't want us to be going to hell. Then some people will say, if God doesn't want us to go to hell, why did God make the hell? The Word of God says the hell was made for the devil and his followers. So it's not for us. This is for the devil and his followers. God doesn't want any person to go to hell. That's why he sent his son into this world. So warn the people that these people should not be going to hell. Now, some people do not know anything about hell and heaven. It is our duty to tell these people about the plan of salvation and tell the people that God loves them, and tell the people that God wants you to go to heaven. The Word of God is, we just read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and in that verse says, God does not want anyone to be destroyed or to perish, so each and every person should go to heaven. Today, many people going astray. We see Jesus Christ came into this world. Let's read the Matthew chapter 18, start reading from verse 11.
For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
It is God's will not to single person should perish. That's why the Son of Man came. And the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't want to hear him. He says, I did not come for the righteous people. I came for the sinners. If you're righteous, you don't need me, because I came to seek the people who are lost. The Word of God is saying he came here to seek the sinners. If the person doesn't recognize he's a sinner, then he cannot go to heaven. And so Jesus Christ is saying, each and every person who is seeking the kingdom of God, those are the people he's seeking. He came to the people who were going away from God. That's why Jesus Christ came. And he tried to teach them. The Word of God says, first of all, he went to his own. It says in John chapter 1, verse 11, but his own received him not. But at that time, Jesus was not sent to the Gentiles. They rejected him, because there was some kind of blindness on their eyes. They could not understand Jesus coming to this world. But he kept on telling them, he kept on ministering to them, and even his disciple, he told them, don't go to anywhere, go to the lost sheep of the Israel. First message was given to the children of Israel. And then, after the resurrection, Jesus Christ told his disciple, now I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will be my witness around the world. And that's what the plan of God was. So let's go to the book of St. John chapter 6, start reading from verse 38, what Jesus Christ is saying. What is the Father's will for him?
For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Now see, here he's saying, what is the Father's will? He said, I came to do my Father's will. Doing my Father's will, that is my food. So I came to do the will of God, and I want to finish it. So here he says, I came to do the will of my Father. And what is the will of Father? To bring these people to the salvation. I do not want to lose one of them. So I want to bring them and give them everlasting life. And not only that, I will raise them in the time of resurrection. So that means Jesus Christ was giving assurance to the people who are listening. This is the Father's will, that I came, I want to give my life, and when I die, I will be resurrected, and I will come out of the grave with a hope of resurrection for you people. And when you believe in me, you will not die. The Father's will was that Jesus Christ should be giving his life for the mankind, so the mankind will not be lost. And that's what he was saying. I do not want to lose any one of these, even his disciples. But one person actually got lost, that's Judah. But he said, only one person who was the son of perdition. Whoever does the will of my Father, those are the people will make it to heaven. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 2. It says, our God is love and God is gracious, and he wants everybody to come to heaven. But it's not going to be automatically. His love inspires us to come to him. The word of God says his love has a power like a magnet. His love pulls us towards him, just like a magnet. If the animals, dog and a vicious animal, when you show love, they don't attack you, they will be friendly with you. When Jesus Christ gave his life for mankind, the mankind should understand the love of the Father. What Father has done for me. So the sometime people, what they do, oh, God is so good. And we just read, God do not want anyone to go to hell. And everybody goes to heaven. So automatically one day God will take me to heaven. That's what the people are thinking. And there are so many people are saying, Jesus Christ shed his blood for the whole world, so the whole world is going to go to heaven. Other day I was talking to one man, he's a Christian. He said, didn't Jesus Christ die for the whole world? I said, yes, sir. So why can whole world go automatically to heaven? No, sir, it will not, because when God has given his gift, he has gift for everybody, but you have to come and receive it. Just like you have social security or some kind of benefits, and they don't give it to you because you are a citizen. You have to have address, and you go, and then you say, I need a food stamp, you will get it. I never saw anybody, because you are a citizen, automatically somebody comes and gives you food stamp in your house. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, and some blind man saying, Jesus of Nazareth or son of David, have mercy on me. He said, bring him here. After that man comes, he said, what should I do for you? Now anybody will say, doesn't he know this man was blind and he needs sight? So he said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want my sight. Okay, you want your sight? Get your sight. Jesus Christ was trying to give people a free will. What do you want? And they have to ask. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Somebody says, oh, I'm a child of God and God should give me everything automatically. It doesn't come automatically. You have to ask for it. What do you want? God has given us free will. So if God has provided salvation and God is good and everything, and he's waiting for people to turn to him. Let's read that verse. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
See, this word is saying God is patiently waiting that people should recognize that God sent his son, he sacrificed his son, And now it's a free will offering for mankind. He gave his life, and now you should say, thank you, God, that you gave your son, and I need forgiveness for my sins. Because our sin, our sickness, our death penalty is taken on the cross of Calvary. So we have to receive it by faith. Some people are saying, you know, the word of God says, with his stripes we are healed. That means we should be automatically healed. No, we cannot be automatically healed. You have to recognize that Jesus died for me. He took my sickness on the cross of Calvary. And if I believe it, I will receive that healing for my body. And that's the way it works. So here the salvation is provided. And the people said, well, God should automatically forgive me. I'm not going to ask forgiveness. And if you don't repent, and I do whatever I want to do, and God should be forgiving me automatically. How many times I had to ask forgiveness? If you're stubborn enough, and if you don't understand my love, then the judgment day is coming. Then there will be no forgiveness. Jesus Christ came here into this world, and he died on the cross of Calvary, spread hands. That means, come unto me. I want to rescue you. I want to help you. But people don't listen. The same Jesus is coming to judge. St. John chapter 5, he says, the judgment is given to the Son. And he is the one going to judge us. So he said, if you don't confess your sins, if you don't ask forgiveness now, the day will come, and that day, the judgment will come. But the preacher was saying, God will give you 1,000 chances. I'm not waiting for 1,000 chances. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. We have to see, if I die tonight, what will happen? Tomorrow is not mine. So he says, we do not have to have pleasure in sinful activity. If somebody's sinning, I'm not sinning, but I'm just watching, and I'm just approving. Now, some people do not do abortions. They are not medical doctors. They are not doing. But they approve. They said, there's nothing wrong. So this is ladies' rights, and I approve that, and let them do it. They are similar guilty. Even though they are not doing it, they are guilty for those things. Because wrong is wrong. We cannot approve the wrong. If you approve the wrong, then you are guilty like them. So the word of God says, your heart should not condemn. Let's go to the 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. The word of God said, our God is greater than our heart. He will find a solution for your heart.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Now, here is saying, if your heart condemns, then Sunday they cannot go to church because their heart condemns. And some people even come to church and they say, I don't want to take communion. What happened? Oh, I committed some sin. So the word of God says, if your heart is condemning and you are a communion, you should repent and take it. Heart condemns, and if you don't do anything about that heart, then you will be getting to more problems. Let's read a little further.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
If your heart condemns you, our God is greater than your heart. That means come to God. Don't run away from God. And he says, if your heart is not condemning, then you have confidence towards God. If their heart condemning and God giving them chances and they don't repent, then the sudden destruction comes. So the word of God says, God has given us chances to repent. God has planned for us. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And then somebody says, if God has chosen me before the foundation of the world, that means I'm the chosen one. I'm not going to be going to hell. Let's read that verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
See, God had chosen us, just like he said, many are called, but few are chosen. He gives the altar call to everybody. He says, I have chosen you. I have called you. For what? Holiness. I want you to be holy and without blame. That's my calling. That's what I have chosen you. So I did not choose you to do whatever you want to do. God is trying to say, you know, I have called you, but I'm a holy God. If you want to come to me, the word of God said, without holiness, no one can see God. You want to see me, you want to have fellowship with me, You cannot have fellowship without holiness. You come with the holiness, come without blame, and come to me with pure love. That's what the God's calling is. And so when God called us with a definite purpose, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, we are called before the foundation of the world. For what? To do good things, do good works. But the man was not able to do good works. Adam didn't do good works. Each and every person, even the Moses didn't do any good works. Moses did something wrong. So each and every person was not perfect. They lacked something. Only perfect person was Jesus Christ. And so he says, now, if you want to be perfect, and if you want to do good things, you can only do in Christ. Without Christ, we cannot do anything. That means, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then he comes in, and then he gives you supernatural power to say no to sin. Now, if somebody is watching you, or you preaching to those people, and these people said, I'm a sinner, I have bad habits, I smoke, I drink, I do all kinds of sin, and I cannot control my life, what should I do? The preacher said, okay, go home, and when you give up all your sins, then come to church. Do you think that person will ever go to church? No. The word of God says, come as you are. You come to me, O heavy laden, come to me and I will give you the rest. That means you come as you are, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then he becomes king of your life, he gives you supernatural power, then the other things goes away. The smoking, the drinking, the gambling, the drugs and alcohol, then the lust for the sinful desire, automatically goes away. That's what the word of God says. If any man in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. It happens automatically by the power of God. That's what the word of God says, come to me and I will give you the rest. So when you come to Jesus Christ, then in Christ, you can do good works. That's why St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Without God's grace, we cannot do anything. Is there any man or woman can say, tomorrow, 100%, I can do this? The word of God says, you don't know tomorrow. You just say, if God's will, I will do that tomorrow. So we never know what next day holds. Our life is like a bubble. It can burst anytime. So the word of God is saying, God knows our future. God knows our life. Only thing what we have to do is say, Lord, I cannot do anything. I want to do something, but I can't. He said, okay, receive my son, ask forgiveness, and he will give you supernatural power. Then you can do all things, like St. Paul's saying. The will of God should be done in our lives. St. Paul is saying this. And so let's read the Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 and 16.
But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
You know this story. When God called Saul, and God did not force Saul. Only God says, Jesus says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. Then when he came to know that Jesus is the one, and he saw great light, and he became blind, and now he's helpless. Saul is waiting for you. You go there. Ananias says, Lord, I cannot go there because you know how the man was destroying the churches. Jesus said, I know that. And so this man goes. Now when his eyes open, he had choice. And go back and do whatever he wants to do again. Because he had the free will. But he chose not to go back to the wrong way. Jonah went to the fish belly. And then he prayed, Lord, if you take me out, I will do your will. And then he was out of the belly. Then God's words came to him. Jonah, go to Nineveh. And if that time Jonah said, no, I'm not going, God give him a second chance to go. So God does not force anyone to do anything. Even though he was chosen vessel to do these things God told him to do, he could have denied. Once God gives us a chance, we should take that chance and follow him. Let's go to the 1 Timothy chapter 2 and read from verse 1 to 7.
I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity.
Now here is St. Paul is saying, he said God does not want any person to go to hell. So he said, I start from the kings and the higher authorities and everybody, I start praying for those people. What is the motive? He said, I want those people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we say to pray for higher authorities, so somebody says, I don't like that president, or I don't like that prime minister, or I don't like this person, I'm not going to pray. We pray that God can change the hearts of the kings. God can do anything. So he said, I'm praying. My desire is everybody should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. So God has chosen me. And I am working towards this goal. That's what the St. Paul is saying. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?
Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or saving knowledge of truth. So God wants everybody to save. So now what you should be doing, telling the neighbor or telling that person, if that person rejects, you did your job. The word of God says, if the wicked is going to die, then somebody says, God already said to me that wicked is dying. He said that wicked is dying, but your job to go and tell him to turn away from your wickedness. And if you go and if he doesn't, then his blood will not come on you. So that's why we have to tell everybody. God is not going to save a whole world automatically. He has chosen you and me as his ministers. So God's will that not a single person should go to hell, God has given us the opportunity to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. Each and every believer's responsibility that we have to do his will. Jesus Christ says, this is the will of my Father that I should do this preaching and I should bring those people. And when he was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. So he did the job. St. John chapter 14, verse 12, please read. What did he say? I did the job. You can do the same.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now, he says, I'm going to go to my Father, but I am giving the responsibility to you. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, all power is given unto me, and all authority is given unto me, I give it to you. So now we got the power, we got the authority, same like Jesus Christ had. So now he said, I did this healings and miracles and signs and wonders. Now I'm going to go to my Father, but I'm going to keep you here. So you do the same thing and what? Do greater things than this. Now somebody will say, now Jesus is gone, everything is finished. And that's what the people start thinking. But Jesus went and sent the Holy Spirit and they got the power and they start doing the work. And the people start thinking, you know these fishermen? Unlearned, uneducated. Where they got all this wisdom? Then somebody said, they were with Jesus. So when they were with Jesus, they learned from him. And then they carried the ministry. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, when you are born again, I will send the angels to minister to you. Nobody has power to do any harm to us because God is watching and His angels are watching you. We do not have to be afraid of anybody. The gospel has power. That's what St. Paul says. Romans 1:16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. See, why he's not ashamed? Means he is preaching the gospel. That gospel gives him power, authority over all the sickness, disease, and enemies. And to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. We are chosen people of God. We have nothing to be afraid. We are here to fulfill the will of God. And what is the will of God? Prepare as many as people for the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We learn your word that you called us with a definite high calling. You have chosen us before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to forgiving our sins, washing us with your precious blood. Now Jesus Christ lives in our heart. Our heart is belong to you, and we are living for you. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. So we just want to please you. We want to do your will. We need your grace, your mercy, and your power. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.